the Why Tesla Model Y podcast, episode 2. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Without further ado, let's jump right into it. The hottest post that I saw over this past week, or at least those that caught my attention, again, we're primarily following the happenings of the r/Tesla Model Y subreddit. First one that I noticed, the title of the post reads, and this is from user Enforce Marketing. The title reads, "Just test drove the Model S, Model X, and Model Y. The winner is clear." So that post immediately caught my attention. Obviously, it's in the Model Y subreddit, so I figure perhaps the winner is the Model Y, but let's read through it. This one's longer than those that I typically read, so bear with me. So the post reads, "Just got back from driving all three mentioned in the title. I'm also coming from owning Lincoln Navigators and Aviators, nice cars by the way, for the last 10 years. So I'm going into this with a certain level of quality, luxury, and feature expectation. The Model S is definitely quick, especially in insane mode, and as fun as it is, it's not something that I would use that often. The upgraded interior materials are definitely nice. For me, that's really the only benefit to the Model S. The X, even in insane mode, isn't nearly as quick as the Model S. No surprise there with all the additional weight from the rear doors and the size slash shape of the thing. Again, like the Model S, the Model X's upgraded materials on the interior are nice. Lastly, the bigger size of the Model X is nice compared to the Model Y. However, overall, the Model Y feels like a better built car. Feels more solid and is plenty quick for a daily driver. The Model Y suspension is much more enjoyable as well compared to the Model X." That part of the post caught me by surprise, and many others as well, but we'll get into that in a bit. Even when putting the Model X on the most comfortable settings, the Model Y has the majority of the same options as the Model S and Model X with minor differences. I came into this test drive expecting and wanting to like the Model X the best, but was surprised when I preferred the Model Y. So, looks like after my lease is up on my Aviator in August, I'll be joining the Model Y family with a Model Y long range in white with black interior." Again, that post was from Enforce Marketing as the user. The top comment on there, as I pointed out in my comment on the post, was from user IO. It just reads, "You found the Model Y suspension to be more comfortable than the Model X? I've never heard anyone with that opinion before." And there were multiple replies to that comment, basically agreeing with that sentiment. And if you've ever scrolled through that Tesla Model Y subreddit, or frankly driven a Tesla Model Y versus Model X or Model S, you'll probably agree. Anyway, I wanted to share that post. I think it's interesting, frankly. As I said on the first episode, I personally have only driven the Model 3 and the Model Y. The other comment I wanted to share on here, again, it's rather lengthy, but it's basically an alternative take, and it's from user Sherlock Noir, and this post reads, or this comment reads, "I've driven all four. The Model S, the Model 3, the Model X, and the Model Y, to include the rear-wheel drive standard range, plus the all-wheel drive long range and plaid." The shocking bit of this comment is that this user says, "I would absolutely agree with this opinion." It goes on for a few bullet points detailing each particular model, which I'll read briefly. Beginning with the S, it says the S is the fastest, most luxurious, and has the most range. It's also a hatchback, which makes it even more useful. That said, it's too expensive for what it is. The interior still does not feel much different than the 3 or Y, and it sits low to the ground. It's also a very old design. I feel the S is 12-year-old design, and I have a hard time telling a 2017 from a 2024, which, fair point there. The exterior just hasn't changed much. The X is a minivan with a bunch of gimmicks. The Falcon doors are finicky, and the optional third row is not only another $6,000, that is, but takes the price over the 80K mark, which disqualifies it from the $7,500 tax credit. Since the six-passenger configuration is the most popular layout and only layout for the Plaid X. Whoops, hang on a second, I minimized it. Be aware that its second row captain's chairs do not fold flat, they only lean forward. I was also incredibly disappointed with the lack of cargo room behind the third row when carrying six adults. It couldn't even fit two folded up beach chairs back there. So yeah, it's easier to get in and out than the S, and it's great for hauling six adults, but good luck fitting anything else. There's just not a lot of room with all the seats up. It's basically made for carrying people, not necessarily lots of stuff. Again, that's a comment about the Model X. The comment goes on to detail the Model 3. It says the 3 is the cheapest, most efficient, and best handling Tesla. But it also sits extremely low to the ground and has the tiniest rear seat. It also is the only Tesla that has a trunk, so that really sucks. So, I see it as a great commuter car or weekend track day sedan, but it just does not fit big people or big things. Even a single dude, no wife, no kids, with big dog or a mountain bike, or just trying to bring home a big flat screen TV from Costco would be better off with a Y. Finally, the comment gets into the Model Y. It says the Y takes the good from all the above. It sits higher than most cars, has great passenger and cargo room, and an available factory tow hitch. The 5 additional inches of rear seat legroom versus the 3 means you can carry 5 full-size adults comfortably or young kids in rear-facing car seats, which is worth noting for those that have kids like myself. Comment goes on to read, and still have tons of cargo room. It's also very easy to get people and kids and things in and out. Finally, it's very affordable and has basically the same smaller footprint of the 3. The final bit of this comment reads, for anyone who has driven all 4, there should be no surprise why the Y is not just the best-selling Tesla or EV, but actually the best-selling passenger vehicle worldwide, which I think we all saw in 2023. It goes on to read, it still comes with a traditional steering wheel with a horn pad, stocks for turn signals, high beams, shifter, and still qualifies for all the available tax credits. The Y is not just the best bang for the buck Tesla, but it's also the one with the least amount of BS. I'd recommend it over anything else, regardless of powertrain, for $40,000, which is exactly what most people will pay for a Model Y long range in the US with the $7,500 IRS credit. Got to take a breath after that, but wanted to lead off with that post. That post definitely caught my attention. I read through all of it. As a recent buyer, I mentioned in episode 1, I purchased my Model Y long range back in mid-January, so I've only owned it for about a month, but it was good. Obviously, I think this subreddit, the Tesla Model Y subreddit, is obviously a bit more biased to the Model Y, and it's where folks end up after they may land on a Model Y. But that was encouraging to hear, and I think for all of us Tesla Model Y owners or those prospective buyers in the market that are looking around, 100% agree with that sentiment in the comment, in that, for $40,000, it's one of the best cars money can buy. We saw it in 2023. It was the best-selling vehicle, passenger vehicle worldwide. I think that's going to continue into 2024. So can't speak too much to the Model S, to the Model X, because I've never driven those, but figured the post was worth sharing, as I think it's confirmation for those of us that have recently purchased or own a Model Y, that just because there's higher price tags for these other, potentially more luxurious interiors and, a bit more bells and whistles and faster Tesla vehicles, we've got a pretty dang good deal and a heck of a vehicle in the Model Y. So user and force marketing, thank you for that post. I think that was insightful for everybody, whether they're a Model Y owner or not, or really just those that are comparing different Tesla vehicles. I thought that was a great read. The next post that caught my attention last week, shifting gears to one that was frankly terrifying and sad to see. The title of the post, this is from user FatAmy803. The title just reads Head-On Collision. It's exactly as it sounds like. Again, I know I'm on a podcast here. I can't show you the photos, But it's like I said, just as the title sounds, it is a white Tesla Model Y that had just gotten into a head-on collision. It looks like it's night, it's raining, potentially ice in the area. The comment on the post, so the caption of the post reads, "Head-on collision with a full-size truck. Escaped with a broken ankle. The car automatically called 911 and turned on the hazards. The other driver was airlifted with two collapsed lungs, a punctured lung, a broken sternum, and internal bleeding." Which my heart breaks for that other passenger, the other driver in the truck that was not as lucky as this Model Y driver that escaped with still a tough injury, a broken ankle, but potentially life-threatening injuries with the collapsed lungs, the punctured lung, the broken sternum, and internal bleeding. So prayers out to that driver. Hopefully they make a full recovery and they're all right. There's six photos on this post. The first photo is in the dark, totally flattened front end. So the front of the Model Y is completely flattened. There's debris all over the ground. As you swipe through the photos, the next few photos are in the daytime. And it's pretty interesting to see. I mean, the front end is entirely whacked. It's entirely flattened. I will say the beauty of the Model Y is that front end essentially entirely serves for safety purposes as effectively the crumple zone, right? So internal combustion engine vehicles, you've got the engine there. You've got less room and safety and structure built in for this situation where you're in a head-on collision. So don't get me wrong, the front of this Model Y is absolutely destroyed. Again, the driver ended up the driver of the Tesla ended up with a broken ankle. But as you swipe through, it's pretty interesting. As you get to photo number four, and again, I recommend checking out the post. It's from FatAmy803. The title reads Head-On Collision. As you get to the photo, there's a photo of the interior. It almost looks completely unfazed structurally. Obviously, the airbags are deployed in every direction. It looks like there's even a leg airbag, which I didn't know existed. However, the frame that's protecting the cabin and the front passenger and even the front driver, it maintained its shape and structure pretty dang well. And so you can see, obviously, why the Tesla Model Y is one of the best in its class, if not the best in its class, and has perfect safety scores, is because the structure is built so dang soundly. I know often on this Model Y subreddit, we complain about rattles and shakes and things that Tesla deems are in spec but may not be perfectly aesthetically pleasing. When it comes down to it, though, it is an incredibly safe vehicle, as indicated by this post here. The comments go on to read, the speed range of this crash was roughly 55 to 60 miles per hour, which is terrifyingly fast. I mean, you got to think 100 miles per hour plus combined impact force between these two vehicles. Again, prayers up to both of you guys. I pray that you guys make a speedy recovery, but fantastic to see that the Model Y, excluding the front end, which was of course smashed, the actual cabin maintained its shape and structure pretty dang well. There's a broken left panel by the driver's side, but outside of that, there's still leg room for the driver. The passenger side looks unaffected. The rear or the center screen, the center monitor has a slant to it, and that obviously took some damage. Car definitely totaled, right? But it's evident that you can see how you can escape from a crash like this, which is you never want to see a crash, especially in a vehicle like this that we all love. But knowing in the back of your mind, okay, if I do get in a crash, this thing is built for safety and with safety in mind. That is amazing to see. So FatAmy803, prayers up for you. Hopefully you recover from that broken ankle. Prayers up for the other driver as well. Not sure if the seatbelt was worn, not sure if it was an older truck model or what the situation was there, but hopefully they make a full recovery as well. Going to the third post that caught my eye over the last week, this is one, it is from user, XX the cake is AliXX. The title of the post reads, Friends/Family Dislike My Choice to Buy a Tesla. The post reads, finally I'm making the switch to EV for one of our vehicles, and I am extremely excited to be picking up my 2024 Model Y Long Range next week. Congratulations to you. I keep sharing the news with people, and about 90% of everyone I tell just keeps responding with, why would you do that? Definitely not the decision I would have made. You're going to regret that. Waste of money. Has anyone else experienced this? I'm still super stoked to pick the car up, but everyone keeps raining on my parade and trying to make me feel bad for it. Not that I really care, because it's my money and I'm happy with my decision. So before I dive into any of the comments, again, this post caught my attention and I clicked on it because it's something I think we can all relate to, especially those that are coming from more traditional ICE internal combustion engine vehicles. EVs still haven't, I think, gained the traction and the ground that we thought we would by the year 2024. However, we're starting to see a massive shift with all automakers. I mean, you see commercials now, Cadillac, Mercedes, all of the top high-end automakers, even ones like Hyundai, like Kia, they're shifting to EVs. I mean, they see where the world's going. They see where buyers are going. The buyers are more interested in not only MPG and efficiency, but you know, green initiatives and frankly things that give them more bang for their buck than a full gas vehicle. So I resonate with this post. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to what are you after, right? I mean, there's folks that drive sports cars that get, you know, in the teens for miles per gallon, that are super loud, that look great. And I would never, you know, make these comments to those people of, hey, why would you do that? Not the decision I would have made. You're going to regret that, waste of money. Because if it makes you happy, and you've frankly, if you've got the money for it, you have no reason to buy otherwise. Maybe you don't have a family. You don't need more than two seats. That's fine, right? Buy what makes you happy. It's your vehicle. It's your life. It's your money. You can do what you want with it. There's far worse things to spend your money on. So especially when it comes to an EV, before Tesla came onto the scene, you think back to the days 10 plus years ago, all you saw were Priuses driving around. The sentiment was far different. Even if it was kept in your head, when you see a Prius versus now when you see Teslas all over town, it's quite a bit different. So I think if you're going to go with an EV, you got to go with the ones that know it best, that have been around for quite a while, that have built their brand and all of their vehicles in entirely electric, rather than, you know, the Mercedes, the Chevys, the Ford F-150 Lightnings, right, that are shifting now years into automobile making, into the EV market, and have to figure it out from scratch. Tesla started from scratch as an electric vehicle company. So I think if you're going to go EV, obviously I'm biased, but you've got to go with Tesla in that regard. Anyway, let's get into some of the comments on this post. The most upvoted comments is from Obvious Exchange 1. It just reads, who cares what they have to say? They appear to be pretty rude. It might be best to just say, I like it, and leave it at that. Fair enough. Straight to the point. That is really what it comes down to. If you like it, if you're happy with your purchase decision, you've done your research, you know it's the best bang for your buck, be happy with it. I always see posts on here all the time of, man, I'm regretting my decision. I purchased the height of the market at 65K. I see these now going for 35K. While yes, obviously I can agree with that. There's other users that may have purchased a 2021 or 2022 model that now want the slightly upgraded specs of a 2024 model with or 2023 model with softer suspension and different things like that. At the end of the day, there will always be a new vehicle out there. There's always going to be slight tweaks and upgrades. The beauty of buying a Tesla is, again, the over-the-air software upgrades. And so as Tesla progresses, as software progresses, as research and development progress, these software updates get pushed all the way back to the oldest models. connect to Wi-Fi. As I detailed in the first episode, they'll push those updates to you the same way they will for the newer models, with the caveat being some of the full self-driving upgrades and some of those things reserved for the folks that obviously subscribe and purchase that particular upgrade, which, again, typically you can do as long as you've got the computer in the vehicle, even with some of these older models. Another comment on this post reads, I stopped telling people and family my personal life and decisions and purchases a long time ago. Another post, love this one, from user B Bum, says, take them for a ride, floor it without warning. The OP on this post replied back to that, said, 100%, this is my plan. Which is a great point. I can't remember where I saw it, but there was another post in here, another comment that read, yep, my grandpa had the same sentiment. I stepped on the accelerator. He forever thought EVs were slow. Once I stepped on that accelerator, he immediately changed his mind and now only tells folks that EVs are incredibly fast. So love that. 100% agree with that comment as well. Anyway, XX, the cake is Ally XX. Tough username, but great post. I think it's something that runs through all of our heads at one point or another in EV and Tesla ownership, especially when switching from gas-powered vehicles. The next post that caught my attention over this past week was from user Ultra Instinct Shaggy. The title reads, "Is my car totaled?" Again, I know we're on a podcast here, but it's got a photo. And frankly, why I clicked on this post is because typically within this subreddit, there are so many posts, not calling out you, Ultra Instinct Shaggy, but there's so many posts of very minor scratches or scuffs on the paint, or, man, I curbed my rim, and now there's a scratch on my rim, what do I do to fix it? Or there's a drop of water on my headliner, what do I do to get it out? Or very minor things such as that. And the top comment nearly every time is totaled. As in, it's just a running bit in the Tesla Model Y subreddit that any instance of an imperfection or something that's out of spec, as we might consider it, boom, vehicle's totaled, trade it in, sell it, get rid of it, move on to the next. Obviously, it's a joke. This post is a bit more serious because the vehicle is pretty dang damaged in this post. The post itself reads, the neighbor fell asleep at the wheel and crashed into my parked Tesla Model Y. My Tesla was hit so hard it got knocked over the curb and smashed into my other car. And so the photos are pretty intense. I mean, it's a gray Model Y, the entire left front size entirely scraped up. The front left driver's side wheel is completely separated from the vehicle. As you scroll through the posts, it's much more of the same. The vehicle's up on the curb as the post details. You can see the back of the car slammed into this user's other vehicle. And so pretty significant damage. The top comment reads, your neighbor was drunk. Not sure whether that's the case or not. Another comment reads, yes, it lost a wheel, which means structural damage. It is toast, which, fair comment. The second you see a tire completely separated from the axle, from the actual vehicle, you got to think that thing is structurally totaled. So tough to see, Ultra Instinct Shaggy. I'm sorry about that. That is worst case scenario if your car is parked out in front of your home and what's supposed to be a safe spot, and boom, something totally out of your control, such as a driver asleep at the wheel, just happens to slam into a stagnant and not moving object. So that's brutal. Hopefully insurance covers it. You get yourself a nice upgraded Model Y anyway. But again, the reason I clicked on that post to begin with was because so many of these running bits in the Model Y subreddit are joking about, check out my minor scratch, is it totaled? This one, unfortunately, looks like it was. Best of luck to you in getting that replaced and getting that covered. The next post, I've got two more. One more that caught my eye over this past week was a post from user HellYes. The title of it is "Spending 3K Plus for My Boys." It's a great photo of the first photo on the post is two smaller dogs in what looked like the 7-seat configuration, the far rear 2 seats of the Model Y. The post reads, "I literally bought the 7-seat Model Y for my dogs. There are no made-for-the-third-row seat covers, so I had to test some seats to find one that will work for us. I think I may have done it, but may supplement with dog couch for comfort. The little one hates it, so far, but he will adapt. I used 2 single seat covers that have zippable sides and then overlapped them and zipped them together. Then I got a stretch net to put over the middle seat so they can get airflow from the middle row." And there's a photo of that middle, so in the second row of the vehicle, the middle seat is folded down, which is a great setup. So they still get airflow. They've got the net covering now in between the 2 second row seats, which is a great setup. So you got the protection for the dogs, you got the protection for the seats. And I 100% agree. While I can't relate to this one because I've got the 5-seat, the 2-row configuration for the Model Y Long Range that I have, my wife has a Volkswagen Tiguan, and 100% agree, we went with the 7-seat configuration with the 2 tiny rear, basically jump seats in the back that fit small children. You know, I've had my brother sitting there that's 20 plus years old, that it's far too big for long, or far too small for long trips. But it's primarily has been for our dog. We've got a 55-pound pit bull mix, and it's absolutely perfect for him. He hates being in the car anyway. But having a more confined space, 100% agree. While I don't have that 7-seat configuration with the far rear seats for my Model Y, it is absolutely a perfect spot for dogs. So if I don't call anything else out about this post, fantastic setup. I wouldn't think twice about it. If you got to spend $3K extra to get those extra rear seats, whether it's for kids that come down the road, or for short trips for other passengers, just to fit a few more folks in there with seatbelts, or like this person, throw your dogs back there. It's a great spot for them. And I love the setup. And then he made it work with what looks to be and what sounds to be 2 individual seat covers that he basically just meshed together. He or she meshed together to create basically a big dog bed in the far third row. So that's awesome to see. I love that people are using it that way. Let's see if any of the comments were noticeable. One reads, and this was the most upvoted one on there. It's from Boba Balls. It says, "We did the exact same thing. You might want to consider some seat back covers for the second row, as dog fur is impossible to get out of that felt material." Echo that sentiment. Another comment reads, "I have a big boy, 90-pound lab. I got a whole bench cover that fits across the back pretty well. Then I put his bed in there for comfort. We keep the middle row folded like this when there is just 3 of us, older kids at college. When there's 4, he's contained back there, but he doesn't mind it." Comments go on to say, "This is incredible. My dog hated the third row, so we got creative. We bought a 7-seater for her, but didn't like it, so basically folded the third row down and then opened the trunk subfloor and just keep the divider in its holding position. And she's fine with it." So that's an interesting option as well. Fold down that far back row, or if you have the 5-seater configuration as I do, use that subfloor storage in the trunk, lift that up, throw the dog bed in there. Boom, that can be a great spot for the dog as well. So good thing about the Tesla, you've got plenty of storage space. I absolutely love the subfloor storage in the trunk. The frunk, of course, please don't put a dog in there. But good to see there's obviously options for those of us that are dog owners, or have large families and need space for suitcases, for dogs, and different things like that. So hell yes, shout out to that post. Great setup with that 7-seater. The final post that caught my attention over this past week This one was from user What Modern. The title reads, "This guy was waiting to put his fast food in the frunk while in the drive-thru line." And I clicked on it because this is something that I've heard quite a bit of people doing. There's not many photos on it, but obviously it makes sense, right? I mean, the frunk is completely separated from the cabin. I've never done it myself. I'm not that particular about food being eaten in the car or anything like that. But you can put your fast food, your carry out in the frunk of the vehicle, shut it. It's completely sealed in there, right? So it's not letting fumes into the cabin. This post takes it to another level though, because it's just a photo of a guy with what looks to be a Model X. He's got the frunk open, parked about 10 feet, 5 feet behind the drive-through window. And this gentleman is out of the car, standing at the drive-through window with the frunk open, ready to go. He's got overalls on, love the look, but he's just standing at the window looking like he's just waiting for the bag of food. Frunk popped open right when he gets it, and he's setting it in there, he's off. This gentleman's got a great looking vehicle. It's just a hilarious move. I think if I ever did this, I'd go through a drive-through as standard, open the window, I'd take the food in the car, I'd pull over to a parking spot, open the frunk, boom, drop it in there. This is next level. I mean, this guy's taking it seriously. He wants no food aroma whatsoever making its way into that cabin. So, salute you, good sir, for the integrity of your interior cabin. Not going to go through the comments on that one, but pretty dang hilarious post. Again, wish I could show you guys a photo through a podcast, but that's why you're here, so you can listen to it. That was a pretty dang solid one. Finally, I want to wrap the show up, episode 2, with just a shout out for the best looking Y of the week. This is from user Strock87. The title of the post just reads "Rap." The post itself says, "All joking aside, here are pics of the satin black wrap with eyelids, smoke taillights, 20% tint, and ceramic coating." Absolutely beautiful vehicle. I don't know if it's the contrast on it, there's snow on the ground, if it's the black on the white snow, but it's absolutely gorgeous. I don't know what it is, but something about matte satin black. Again, I wish Tesla offered it the second you purchase your vehicle. Typically, it's a 2 to 4 to 5 to 7K additional purchase you've got to make. This one just looks amazing. I mean, they've got the tinted windows, the blacked out 20-inch induction wheels, it looks like, the satin black wrap. Fantastic looking vehicle. My only comments on it or minor things I wouldn't have done differently: the little eyelids that they mention on the front two headlights, it basically covers essentially the eyelids of the light. It's hilarious. The top comment on here says, "With the DRLs covered, the car looks like it's sleepy." a reply to that one said, "I can't unsee it now," which is kind of true. It's a great look, I think. But I would prefer just to have all the lights readily available rather than covering those. The only other comments I would make on this is just the vehicle is completely debadged. So there's no, Tesla logo on the frunk. There's no Tesla emblem on the rear. And then there's no dual motor badge on the rear as well. Which I'm not opposed to. I mean, the vehicle still looks great, but I mean, we're I think all proud Tesla owners here or prospective buyers. That's something I did with all previous vehicles, is at minimum I would make, the badges black, right? So let's take Plastidip and make those badges black and have the white and black look going, or the solid blacked out look. With a black Model Y long range myself, I'm still debating it. I definitely won't remove the badges altogether, but whether I cover them up with black emblems or I throw some black Plastidip on there. I love the blacked out look. So, shout out to that vehicle, the black wrap itself. Again, once I get more money to throw around on my vehicle, that's where it'll be going. But Strock87, you win the award for the best looking Y of the week. Well, folks, that's it. That's episode 2 of the Y Tesla Model Y podcast. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Tell a friend, share the episode with a friend if you wouldn't mind. That's how we grow this baby from scratch. No ads, of course. Maybe we'll get there one day. But I appreciate y'all tuning in. More to come next week. Thanks for the time.